Praise the Lord. We're this morning. You can turn your Bibles. Let me see where you want to head to first. Let's say Titus chapter number one. Titus chapter number one. We are going to look this morning at taming the tongue. Taming the tongue. We have over the last few weeks talked about the tongue, and when I was in here teaching, you know, we have taken some time, and first of all, we looked at the treasure of the tongue and the gift that we have in the treasure of communication, that of all God's creations, we are the people that get to communicate with one another. And we have a level of communication that's beyond the animal kingdom and beyond anything else, and God gifted us with that, and it was for a purpose. It was for a plan, and that's that we might praise and honor Him. And an awesome responsibility comes with that treasure of the tongue that He gave us. We talked a little bit last week or the week before about the tail of the tongue. And that we really talked about all of the tragedy that comes. Anything that has great power to do good, most of the time has great power to do evil as well. And that's what we learned with the tail of the tongue, talking about how much destructive properties there really are, and how we need to be so very, very careful. And so I told you lots of things wrong with it, and this morning we want to get into how to tame the tongue, taming the tongue. Our key verse for this passage or this study has been Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's kind of been our launching verse, our verse to realize all of what God has for us in this idea of taming the tongue. I'm going to ask. I'm going to stop and pray again because I feel like I need to slow down. I've been running. I feel like I'm moving too quick, and I'm moving faster than my mind wants to. So I'm going to stop, pray for a second, ask the Lord to lead us through this. We got a lot of material to cover, but I don't want to just run through it. I want it to be a help to you as well. So if you don't mind, let me pray with you. Lord, I ask you that you would calm my spirit, that you would give me clarity of thought. I pray, God, that you would give me liberty as we share the truths of your word this morning on this so vital, important topic. Lord, that we need to be in control of this little member of our body, and the great destructive property and the great power to give life, to speak life to people. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we go through this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We as Christians need to get to the place where we get this little member of our body under control. We should not ever just be saying, oh, well, this is who I am, this is how I talk, everybody should just like it. I've been this way for 37 years or 48 years or 56 years. I mean, everybody ought to just be used to it by now. No, we ought to strive to do and be what God wants us to be, and especially in this area of the tongue, getting the tongue under control. We need to be like Christ. Isaiah 53, verse number 7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Wow, what an example that is. Christ was afflicted, he was oppressed. I mean, we would be demanding our rights. We would be speaking up for what we deserve. We would want to have, hey, I ought to be heard. Where's my representative? Where's my safe space? We would be calling for everything, right? Because we were mistreated or abused. And Jesus Christ opened not his mouth. He didn't say a word. And we need to get to the place where we are in control. Now, I imagine that you all have heard the story of the man that was working in the produce department at the grocery store. He was in the grocery store. He's working in the produce department there. And this lady came in and she said, I would like to buy a half a bag of lettuce or half a head of lettuce. And he says, ma'am, we don't sell lettuce by the half a head. You can buy a bag of lettuce or you can buy a whole head of lettuce. And she says, well, I want to buy a head of lettuce, but only a half a head. And he said, we don't. She said, can you ask your manager? And he said, sure. So he took off to go ask his manager, and he didn't know that she was following him. So he gets to the manager and he said, there's some belligerent old bag out front that wants to buy a half a head of lettuce. And seeing the look on his manager's face, he turned around and saw the lady standing there. And he said, and this nice lady would like to buy the other half. would that be okay? Later on, the manager said, man, that was quick. I mean, quick thinking. That was good. Where are you from? And he says, man, where I'm from, all the women are ugly and the hockey players are beautiful. And he said, where's that? And he says, Canada. And he says, my wife's from Canada. And he said, really, what team does she play on? You might be able to turn it around. You might be quick-witted. You might be able to minimize the impact of your words like this young man was. But we need to be in control in the first place. Be able to control our tongue. Tame the tongue is what we need to do. Your speech should always complement Christianity. As we looked a few weeks ago at the cry of the tongue and the fact that what we say tells on us. Our tongue displays what is in us. It is what we say that builds our reputation, that forms impressions, that influences us, influences those around us. In Titus chapter 1, if you're there, verse number 10, 11, and 12, he says this. He says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. The Apostle Paul here has given us the reputation of this group of people, the Cretans. He was looking at them. He said, hey, these people are known by everybody, even amongst themselves, to be liars. They are known to be people that, what does he use the word, unruly. Unruly, I mean, that is a tongue that is out of control. Unruly, without guidelines, without what we would say, we would call a filter. They're just unruly, they just say whatever they want. Or vain talkers. Matthew Henry says that this means empty chattering, talking without actually saying anything at all. Have you ever maybe been guilty of that or been with somebody who, from the time you walked up till the time you left, they were talking, but they didn't say anything. They're just almost, it pretty soon turns into, what is it, Charlie Brown? I mean, just a mumble, yeah. Yeah, wah, 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 yeah. Vain talking. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. We as Christians need to be in control of our tongue. We need to be in control of what we say. First of all, I want you to consider the magnitude of the challenge. Now turn your Bibles to the book of James. This is the key passage on the tongue, James chapter number 3, all the way down to almost the end of the New Testament there. But in James chapter 3, this familiar passage of Scripture dealing with this topic on the tongue, I mean, there is a multitude of sermons just in this passage of Scripture here. But in James chapter 3, verses number 7 and 8, he says, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. You see, he says, every kind of beast in the field has been tamed. I mean, we can take a dolphin out of the ocean and train him to jump through a hoop on command. We can take a serpent and train him to act in a way that's not natural to a serpent and at our will get these serpents to do peculiar things. But he says, all of that, but you can't tame the tongue. We're facing an amazing obstacle here. And you say, well, Pastor Caleb, your title's not very fitting, taming the tongue, and your challenge is not very fitting to tame the tongue, when here in the Scripture he clearly says, no man can tame the tongue. Why are we discussing this? Well, it is true that no man can tame the tongue. But the Bible still says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And with God, all things are possible. And there certainly is not giving us an excuse here to not train the tongue, because we say, oh, well, it's impossible, so I can just do whatever I want. I can just talk however I want or say whatever I want to say. No, he's saying you can't do it yourself. He talks here in this passage of Scripture about the ship and the little helm that's controlled. You know that helm is controlled by a helmsman? That entire ship is turned about by somebody else controlling it. You and I, in and amongst ourselves, cannot control this little member of our body. But when we yield to the Spirit of God, with His strength, we can control this little member of our body. We can see Him do it. The horse is brought under subjection by a small bit. The ship is turned about by a helmsman. And as we yield to the Spirit of God, we can do it. This passage of Scripture tells us the source of the vile conversation that comes out of our mouth at times. Look at verse number 6. James chapter 3, verse number 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So it is a tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. What's the last part of that sentence there? Do you understand the devil wants you to be a Christian with an uncontrolled tongue? He would love to come in and get a hold of your tongue and set it on fire and just let you run wild through the church. I mean, I think about Samson who caught all those foxes and tied the foxes together and lit their tails on fire and sent them through the fields. Satan would love to do that to God's house. He would love to grab a couple of Christians and get them at odds with one another, tie them together in the church house, set them on fire, and let them go. Because of all the pain and suffering and the havoc that they're going to wreak in God's house. You understand that brother or sister in Christ is not your enemy. It's the devil. And when we as Christians are not in control of this little member of our body, we are yielding ourselves to the devil and letting him use our tongue for vile and perverse things. So we have here a tremendous challenge. Certainly something we cannot accomplish in and amongst ourselves, but with the power of God we can. It is a great challenge. The magnitude of the challenge is great, but we can overcome it. I want you to see the method to bring control, the method to bring change. How do you do this? How do you control this little member? How do you get this little member of your body under control and yield to the Spirit of God? Look in James chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. He says, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men." Now, he's talking about our tongue. He says, we bless God and we curse men, which were made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet and water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. He says that like begets like. He's talking here about the fact that sweet water can't flow from a bitter well. Bitter water is not going to flow from a sweet well, from sweet water. Figs grow from a fig tree, and olives from an olive tree, and grapes from a vine. Like begets like. What he's saying is, what's inside is what's going to come out. We're talking about how to control this tongue, how to tame the tongue, and what's inside is going to come out. Matthew 15, 18 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart." That which proceeds out of the mouth comes forth from the heart. Luke chapter 6, verse number 45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good." You see here the comparison to sweet water from a sweet well? And then he goes on and he says, "An evil man from out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." What's inside is what's going to come out. What we have inside of our heart. You say, "Well, I don't know why I'm always talking like this. I don't know why I'm always repeating these things. I don't know why I'm always saying these things." What's inside is what's going to come out. What is in the heart You see, the mouth is controlled by the heart. The mouth is controlled by the heart. Now, I'm going to say a lot of things this morning. But if all you get is that right there, it was worth coming to Sunday school today. The mouth is controlled by the heart. You say, oh, I want to control what comes out of my mouth. I got to control what I'm putting in the heart then. That is the key to getting this thing under control. The fact of the matter is the heart is a pit of perversity. You say, not my heart. Oh, I know, we all think so good of ourselves, don't we? We all think we are doing so well, and boy, we've cleaned up our act so good. Why, we're Christians, and we know how to dress and talk and act and walk. We're godly. We would never. And you fill in the blank. But you understand the heart is desperately wicked. No man can know it, and anybody here is capable of the vilest of sins. You think, how in the world? How in the world? You hear of something happening. This police officer run over by a 16-year-old boy. You think, how could a young man get so messed up in his mind that he would think, how could you just run over another human being? I mean, it's beyond comprehension. But anybody here is capable of the vilest of sin given to ourselves and to our own hearts. We need God to transform and change our hearts. You see, the sin of the tongue betrays the status of the heart. You're telling on yourself by what comes out of your mouth. You know, it may be showing off a prideful heart. It may be showing off jealousy. It may be showing off a bitter heart. You know, if you cannot have a conversation without discussing what happened to you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 4 months ago, if you can't have a conversation without that coming up, you're bitter. You're bitter. You're dealing with something inside, and it just keeps coming up. It just keeps coming out because that's what's in your heart. You need to get right with God and get right with your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad or whoever it was, because you need to get to the place where you can let that go and purify that heart so that out of it can flow sweet water again. Amen. This is a Sunday school lesson I'm teaching this morning. But this will change your life as a Christian. We got to have a purified heart. It may be showing off vindictiveness, hatred, pettiness, envyings, guilt. The tongue gives voice to the inner man. One lady went to the doctor's office. She was sitting there, and the doctor said, I'm sorry, ma'am. There's nothing I can do. You have rabies. He says, I'm going to give you a minute. And he turned and walked out of the office. And he came back in, you know, figuring she was needed a few minutes to compose herself or whatever with this terrible news. And she was feverishly writing down something. And he says, are you writing your last words? And she said, no. And he says, are you writing out a will and testament? She says, no. He says, what are you writing there? He says, I'm writing a list of all those I want to bite. Out of the heart, man. Out of the heart. Speaks. So the obvious conclusion is, if we want to change what comes out of the mouth, we need to change what comes into the heart. You see, until the source is purified, whatever flows from that source will be corrupt, no matter how you dress it up. You know, our pool, when we opened the pool here a couple of weeks ago, was green, nasty, mucky mess. And we hooked up a pump to it in a vacuum. And this pump pumping 2 inches of water at a time out of the bottom of the pool, right? And that water coming out of there was just green. And it stunk. I mean, the water coming out of there smelled so nasty and bad, and it's coming out of there. You know, it didn't matter until that water was purified and cleaned. It didn't matter. But whatever came out of there was nasty, dirty, corrupt. But it got purified. It got clean. It ran through a filter. You know, a changed heart for us starts at salvation. You can't really, we're talking about this impossible task for man to clean up his own act, or man to change his own tongue, to get his own tongue under control. And the fact of the matter is it's an impossible task without Jesus Christ. And so you got to purify the source. And the only way to purify the source is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He will purify the source. But that's just the first step. And hopefully everybody in here this morning is saved and you know it and you're on your way to heaven and there's no doubting it, because that's the starting point to getting this thing under control. But that's just the beginning. So the source gets purified. But do you know what we have at the property? We have frogs. Crazy number of frogs. I mean, I don't know where they come from. It is so loud, I can't go to sleep at night. You know, it's a nice, beautiful night, and you want to open the windows and let the cool air in? Nope, can't do that because the frogs. Rah, rah, rah. I mean, for hours, just nonstop. And do you know what? We have the most magnificent white frogs you've ever seen, because they all jump in the pool. And that chlorine water bleaches them. Frogs by the dozens that are white. They've all been bleached. But they're getting my water dirty. It's very frustrating. The other night, I got 19 frogs out of the pool. And you see, that's what happens with Christians. Jesus comes in and he purifies our heart. He cleans us up. And then we keep putting junk in there, getting it dirty again. And somehow we expect pure, clean, precious words of the Word of God and of Jesus Christ to flow from our lips for the edification of the saints. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and our heart's full of junk. If we want to speak things that are pure and that are clean, we've got to be careful what we put in to a heart. We've got to control what goes into our heart. The heart of the wise man teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to the lips. You see, a wise man is going to control what goes in his heart so that he can control what comes out. The result, you say, man, I want to get my tongue under control. Well, it starts all the way back where we control what goes in. That means that there might be some things I'm watching that I need to stop watching, because it's filling my heart and mind with the things of the world and the flesh and the devil, and that's what's going to flow from my heart because that's what I'm filling it with. This is where the rubber meets the road. As Christians, you want to live like a Christian? This is what we're talking about. You say, well, what's wrong with this show? What's it putting in your heart? What's it filling your heart with? Because that's what's going to come out of your mouth later. There might be some friends that you need to give up, that you need to let go because of what they're filling your heart with. Maybe their conversation is not pleasing to the Lord. You say, man, I can't get over this cussing. I just can't stop cussing. I would venture to say that you're watching programs that have a lot of cussing and that you're hanging around people that cuss all the time. And it becomes normal flow of your conversation. People today don't even realize how much they're cussing. They don't even think about what they're saying, and it just flows from their mouth. And you're around that. The Bible says very clearly, you cannot help but speak the things which thou hast seen and heard. When that's what you're hearing, that's what's going to come out. You might need to make some changes to control what goes in. I was going to bring a magic trick this morning, and I thought, well, I wouldn't have time. to illustrate this fact, but I think you understand that if I have a bucket up here, whatever I stick in the bucket, when I dump it out, that's what's coming out of the bucket. That's the fact. And whatever I stick in my heart is no different. That's what's going to come out. I can't live like the world. I can't live like the devil all week long and then expect all of a sudden to be able to expound the scriptures, to be able to talk about the goodness of God. You see, the problem with a lot of Christians and the reason they're not happy and they don't have the joy of the Lord coming out of their lips is because they're not putting their heart and mind, filling it with that stuff. They're filling it with the world. If we want to speak the things of God, we've got to fill our heart with the things of God. Romans 6, 17, 18 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speech deceive the hearts of the simple." You see, there's some people that need to be marked and we need to avoid, because they're filling our heart. Maybe it's not cursing. Maybe they're just filling your heart with gossip. Maybe every time you talk to that person, they're talking about somebody else. Hello, red flag, warning. You might not be able to do anything about what they're saying, but you certainly can do something about what you listen to. And you can say, hey, I know I can't be calling that person. I can't be spending time with them. I can't be talking to them. Why? Because I don't want to fill my heart with that. It's not doing anybody any good. It's just a file in my heart. And so I need to stay away. You know, when you come away and you feel gross, you feel like you need to take a shower, you feel like you need to get cleaned up, you say, hey, why do you keep going there? You know, have you ever rode in a car that was that way? You're like, touch nothing in here, you know? and you don't want to go ride in that car again, do you? Why do you keep going hanging around that friend that's doing that to your heart? It's defiling you with these things. So we want to change or control our lips. We've got to have a changed heart that starts with Jesus Christ saving our soul and purifying us from the inside out. And then we change what comes in so that we can control what comes out. And then it's a process. The Bible calls it sanctification, but we need to confess and forsake what's going on in our heart and in our mouth. We need to observe that. You see, you need to evaluate. This morning in church, we're going to have the Lord's table. Time of an examination. You need to evaluate and think about what you're doing and what you're saying. Don't just live life and let it happen. Say, man, was my conversation today pleasing to the Lord? Is that conversation I just had edifying people, or is it tearing down? You need to evaluate your conversation. You need to evaluate what you're saying and think about it. And then you say, you know what? It wasn't. Then I need to confess and forsake that and change it. It's a process. Nobody's perfect. How many of you ever said something you wish you didn't say? And the rest of you are liars. Yeah, we've all said something we didn't want to say. But you don't just let it go. I mean, I might need to go to Joe and apologize. Say, man, I let it come out and it was foolish, and that shouldn't even, that's right, Joe. Yeah, he's bitter, right? He needs to get right with God. Yeah, that's right. I might need to say I'm sorry. Hey, that type of thing happens. Anybody that talks as much as a preacher, you got to apologize a lot. Even something like that in church where I'm joking with somebody. Just last week, I went to somebody after church service and said, hey, it just came to me in the moment. I was preaching away, and I said this. I just need to know if I offended you in any way. I'm sorry. I was not meaning to do that. And they said, no, Pastor, don't worry about it. It was not a problem. I didn't think anything of it. And I said, okay, well, you're just looking at me like you were angry. So I thought for sure I went where I wasn't supposed to go. I said, but I didn't mean anything by it, really. And he's like, no, I was trying to think about what you were saying. He's like, I was trying to remember that happening. And I said, okay, well, I just wanted to make sure I didn't offend you, because I didn't mean to. You might need to apologize. But do you know what? Even that little thing right there makes me a little more careful what I do. You ought to try this sometime. The things that come into your mind, you're like, oh, no, I can't say that. And then you go on, and, oh, no, I can't go there. I better not say that. That's why I pray and ask the Lord to give me clarity of thought, because my mind gets all jumbled up. And, you know, like I look at Dr. Keller, I look at him, and my mind just went blank, just like that. I'm like, Brother Keller, I mean, I mean, he's been coming here for a long time. He's an encouragement. I love this man. I love spending time with him. And I look at him and say, Brother, would you, Brother, Dr. Keller, would you, I don't know what happens to my mind. It just, okay. There you go. When we start losing that, then we're in trouble, right? That's when I need to step down. But I'll tell you what, if you confess before God the transgression of your lips. You see, David said this. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. He said, God, I want to control what comes out of this mouth. Lord, would you create in me a clean heart? And if we confess before God our transgressions and confess and ask for forgiveness for our sins, I'll tell you what, we're going to start cleaning up our act. Because it's not comfortable to have to say sorry, is it? So we got to stop, and we'll say that. And, you know, isn't it amazing? I think that God created a clean heart in David. He was a man after God's own heart. But, I mean, you read the Psalms and the beautiful praises that David said about his Lord. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Psalms is full of the heart of David. Wouldn't it be nice to have a heart like that? And I think we need to start saying, God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me, because I want to control what comes out of this mouth. And if I'm going to control this, it doesn't start by doing something right here. It doesn't start by somehow like a capture device outside of our mouth. No, it starts by controlling what goes in, and that will control what comes out. Worst case scenario, if you can do nothing else, there you go. Yeah, just don't say anything. You might not be able to do something about what somebody else is saying or doing, but you can certainly just say, you know what? I think in our effort to talk, to say something, a lot of times we say a lot of things we shouldn't. And we all do that. We stand there in a conversation, and I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody here. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, where's this conversation going? All right, what am I going to say next? How are we going to continue this? Or are we just going to sit here and enjoy the silence for a while? I mean, that's kind of awkward. So we come up with something to say, right? And before we know it, we're like, oops, I shouldn't have gone there. I shouldn't have said that. Why did I bring that up? That person's not even here. I'll tell you what, if you stop right there and say, Rich, I shouldn't have said that about Joanne because she wasn't here. If I apologize to him for that, it's going to do two things. It's going to make him very careful about what he says about somebody else, and it's going to make me more careful. No, I didn't say anything about you, Joanne, okay? Yeah. You see, Ephesians 4, 29 through 31 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. If we're going to do that, if we're going to let all of our speech be used to the edifying of the saints, then we're going to have to control what goes in. Now, every once in a while, I say something. And this morning I said something. This could change your life. Our theme for this year is taking the next step. Taking the next step in your life. The next step in your walk. The next step for God. The next step in your soul winning. The next step in your family. The next step in your finances. Whatever it might be. This right here would be a great step. Say, man, I want to control this, so I need to control what's going in. And ask God to help you, because you've got the world and our old flesh and a constant attack of the devil that's trying to undermine and take apart any step that you're taking in that direction. Let me pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love and your goodness to us. We thank you, God, for the privilege we have to gather in your house on a day like today to worship you freely, to lift our voices in praise to you. I pray, God, you would help us as Christians to take on the task of taming the tongue. And Lord, I pray that we would do it in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We might control what comes in through the eye gate and the ear gate, that we might control what gets into our hearts and what comes out. Help us to have wells that are sweet, filled with sweet things. And Lord, we'll praise you for it. Boy, what a magnificent thing to be a church who is known as that. The reputation of those spoken to of Paul was people of bitterness and of lying and of false speaking. Lord, I pray you would help us to be people that flow sweet, sweet things. And we'll thank you for it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.